time for Cigar Talk, the fastest growing cigar show in the nation. Whether you're a new cigar enthusiast or a cigar aficionado, we have something for everyone, bringing you the best interviews, cigar reviews, and weekly giveaways. So grab yourself a cigar.
It's time to light them up.
Welcome back to Cigar Talk. I'm your host, Rob Jones. We have co-host Brian Falconer in the studio. How you doing today, Brian?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. Doing good.
Nice, man. So how's your week been?
Hey, good week. Long week, but good week.
Yeah, mine's been kind of long, but next week's going to be longer.
Why is it?
Because the week after that, I go on vacation.
Oh, yeah, you're looking forward
and you
to
know
the
how
week
that,
after.
Yeah, yeah, it's like every day you're just like one day closer.
When
one
does
day
it end?
Closer,
when
yes.
does it end?
And then you get there and you're, yes.
Finally.
So, anyway, let's talk about what we're smoking.
Hey, man, I started off the show in the beginning smoking the McAuliffe Reserva.
Oh, yeah, that is a, dude, that's a great smoke.
Yeah, bottom of the barrel. The beauty part of the humidor, you get down there and you're like, oh, man.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Right. And that's, you know, people don't think that I do that, but I do do that. It's like you smoke your regular cigars and then you smoke your subprime regular cigars. And then you smoke the premium of the premium because it's like, I don't have that knockoff stick or whatever that I could smoke to get me by.
Yep,
so I'm going to have to smoke,
I gotta smoke
the
this.
Reserva.
Yes.
And then it's like worth the wait.
It is. It truly is. Because you get that stick and you're like, oh, I see why it's at the bottom of the humidor. It gets down here. It gets to age a little bit more. Oh, those flavor profiles start to come out a little bit higher. And you're like, oh.
Well, I'll tell you what's funny. Last night I was smoking and me and Tim were talking. Uh-huh. And I went to the humidor and I really wasn't paying attention to what cigar I got.
Got you.
I pulled it out. I came over here to cut it. And I realized it was the Padron 80th
Ooh.
Anniversary.
Ooh.
And I was like, no, I'm not smoking that right now. So I put it back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
I was like, that cigar is not even supposed to be in that drawer.
But it is.
Right. So that's what I smoked today before we did the show.
Yeah.
And so now I'm smoking another, I mean, beauty.
Yeah. Dude, Aladino, baby.
Aladino Corojo Reserva. Great freaking smoke.
Oof.
I'm a big Aladino fan.
Me too. You got me on them. I'm stuck.
You know what? I haven't had one that I don't like.
Not yet.
The construction's been spot on.
Mm-hmm.
Been really happy with this Aladino
line. The taste profiles, the look, everything about them, man. It's just...
To me, dude, I think it is just old school quality construction.
Oh, yes.
You know
yes.
what I mean? It's like... You don't have the frilly band. Mm-hmm. You don't have
the basics.
Marketing.
You got the basics.
You have back to the basics.
Yeah. And everything, they put all their money and all their attention into the quality of the stick.
Yeah.
And that's what you get. And that's the beauty of it, man. I was on that podcast with John Witherspoon. And
that lonely show.
Yeah. And he said that he started smoking Aladinos because of us.
Okay.
He heard it on the show.
Awesome.
And he's like, the way we talked about him, he's like, I got to try this, man. And he said he fell in love with
him.
He fell in love with them and the McAuliffes.
Absolutely.
He said he fell in love with them, man.
Yeah. He told me that he'd found some McAuliffes.
Yes. Yes. It's just the beauty of it, man. When you find a quality, when you find those diamonds in the rough and you just stay with them, you're like, ah, and then they never disappoint you.
Right.
Never. You're like, ah.
Well, speaking of McAuliffe, which is our sponsor.
Almost definitely, man.
You know, it's, you know what I love about what we've done over the last year or so is we've built relationships.
Oh, yes.
With so many cigar smokers.
Mm-hmm.
So many brothers of the leaf, sisters of the leaf. And it's awesome when we get to have those conversations about what we have as our sponsor, McAuliffe. And what I mean by that is guys are like, dude, you were not messing around when you talked about the McAuliffe Medallia, the Riata, the Experiencia.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're just blown away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, dude, I'm being serious. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's just, you know, like I was explaining.
I mean, if it's a cigar line you haven't tried,
you need to try it.
You are missing out.
You need to try
on an amazing cigar company.
You need to try
because these guys make cigars that are affordable. We always say 4 to 42. You
no,
like
no,
to
no.
say faux. But I mean, the Reserve is $42.
Yes, sir.
You smoked that before the show.
Oh, man.
Do you think that's a value?
It's worth it. It's worth it.
Exactly.
It's worth it.
And that's where I get where when you say 4 to 42, it's a value at every price.
Yes.
Even at 42, it's a value because that cigar, and I will say this, the more you smoke it, the more you appreciate
it. More you appreciate what it is, man. I'm serious, bro. And please forgive me, John. It's Whitfield.
Yes.
It's Whitfield. But in talking to him and seeing how he was excited about the sticks, the Aladino, the McAuliffes, and his understanding that he got it from listening to us. It humbles you. It truly humbles you because you understand that what you're saying has some form of impact on people. So that's why we fight so hard to make sure that we're giving people quality information.
Yeah.
You know, it's just me and Rob sitting here talking.
And by no means do we ever claim to be experts.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know what? I admire someone who has the knowledge experts have.
Me too.
But at the same time, I can tell you this, I'm enjoying the journey. Oh,
yeah, and that's what it is, that journey.
You know what I mean?
And the thing, I
will never be the master of cigars, but I will have a lot of information.
Most definitely.
And most importantly, it affects my experience as a cigar smoker.
That's the thing that I want people to understand. In the end, it's a journey, and you will never, never reach the end of that journey. But the ride. Oh, the ride.
The ride. That's what it's all about.
The ride,
you know,
baby.
Yeah. The ride and the community.
Mm.
I mean, if it wasn't for cigars, there's no way I would have friends all over the country.
Tell the truth. No, all over the world.
All over the world.
You're talking about Schmidt Face in Australia.
Yeah. And I mean,
all over the world.
The community that we are a part of is really a blessing.
Oh, yes.
You know?
Oh, yes.
And there's all walks of life.
Mm.
So, anyway, before I get all gushy-eyed over here.
Teary-eyed.
No, but, you know, it's just such a phenomenal opportunity for people in all walks of life to come together and have a brotherhood.
Oh, yeah. Because we got something basically in common. When you go down to the basics, we
but
have that stick.
But isn't it funny that it's cigars?
Oh, yeah, that stick.
I mean, if you look at the big picture, the cigar is the tool of bringing people together.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And it is an amazing thing that what they do with the blending, the construction, the leaves, how many people work on the cigars.
Yes. How many hands are touched before it reaches yours.
And for something that...
How many lives is it affected?
But a lot of people would think of a cigar as just some insignificant artifact.
Nah.
You know what I mean? And
think
about how special it is that it brings people together. Like, what else brings people together like that?
On a positive note.
Right.
On a positive
note. And I know that there are clubs that, whether it be, you know, like Mr. Nationals in a club that does electronic football.
Yeah.
Or a motorcycle group, or just, you know, it goes on and on and on. But with cigars, we take everyone, even from all those other organizations. You know what
Tell
I mean? If you're a member of a bike group, you can't be a member of another bike group. You know
can't
what I mean?
Do it.
But you can be in the Cigar Brotherhood.
Yeah, and be a member of another cigar group and be another member of another cigar group because everybody has the same thing in common. I am appreciative. That's what it is. I am appreciative of where we are now, what we have, and where the cigar community is actually going.
Right.
I really appreciate even with the government trying to sanction everything and legislate everything away from us, we're still here. We're still fighting. We're still a part of, and it's still growing. No matter what, it's still growing.
Yeah.
It's a beauty, man. It's a beauty.
It's a great time to be a cigar smoker.
Tell the truth.
I mean, even though we have opposition, it's still a great time to be a cigar smoker.
Still a great time.
So this episode is the episode that we promised you about 6 weeks ago.
In June. The beginning of June.
So that's my bad. I'll take full responsibility for that.
Mm.
Don't get used to that.
I said, I didn't say anything else.
Don't get used to that. So this is the episode that we bring Cigar Talk's top 20-ish. Now, I say 20-ish because I don't know if we have any of the same matching cigars, because I'm bringing you my top 10 and Bryant's bringing his top 10.
Tell the truth.
And so there could be some cross-contamination going on.
It possibly
I haven't seen your list.
I hate to say I've seen yours.
And is there some...
I looked at our producer, and I was like, damn.
You were like, we got top 10. I haven't seen your list, so...
Like, damn.
But you know what? I mean, here's the thing. A lot of the cigars that you're going to see on my list are cigars that we've either smoked on the show or smoked before or after the show.
Yeah.
Because those are great cigars for me. Me and you hanging out, shooting the BS before and after the show.
I'm like you. I don't have a cigar on my list that I have not partaken in and enjoyed myself. Not one. Because, you know, you get those lists where people say, oh, well, this one was on so-and-so's list and this one was on the cigar officials. You know, I'm talking about stuff that I've actually smoked. Stuff that it was beautiful to me.
Right,
And at the time, like you said, the conversation that I had.
Now, I do have one cigar on my list that I did not smoke here in the studio.
Well, you smoked it somewhere else, though, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
I know, but I was thinking about through the list, and that this particular cigar was a very, very special occasion. And so it was a special stick that I probably wouldn't smoke just hanging out in the shed.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be somewhere, got to be taken in the whole experience.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
But anyway, we'll get to that.
Most definitely.
So this is this year's top 20
top-ish.
So how do you want to do it? Do you want like you to go and then me to go, or do you want to go back and forth?
And we should go one do their list and the other, because they're going to be
thank you. I didn't want to do the other way. I just wanted to give you the option and you chose the right path
because it was your path.
Yes.
So who's going first?
You.
Okay.
We'll make it easy on you.
Yeah, man, was most definitely.
Because after you name your list, you could sit back and pick mine apart. Because if it was the other way around, that's what I'd be doing. Yeah, I know what you do.
Yes, we all know that.
So go ahead.
So here's my top 10 cigars of 2020. Starting at number 10, the Aladino Maduro.
Good smoke. Good smoke.
You know.
I do. I have some.
Me too. And I'm going to get more because I reached the bottom of my humidor. Ooh. So I have to get a layer above that. Number 9, the Roma Craft Baca Bantu.
Oh, nice pick. Yes. Nice pick. Yeah.
Yes. I'm a Roma Craft fan, and that Baca.
You are a Roma Craft guy.
Yeah, man. That Baca is just there for me.
I like Roma Craft.
Mm-hmm.
But I see you as the Romacraft guy.
Yeah, because I love it. I love every part of it.
Because, dude, every time they have some new thing.
You know I'm grabbing
you're
it.
You're on it.
I'm grabbing it.
You are on
I'm
it. Grabbing like, it. I eventually get to it. But you're like.
As soon as it comes out, I got to have it.
I'll be over.
Yes, sir. You got it? I'm on my way. Just set two aside right now.
And isn't that great that we have a shop the Leaf?
Come on.
That you can call up there and say, man, I'm hot and heavy on this. Mm-hmm. Whenever it gets here, let me know.
And he will let
and
you know.
And you will know when it gets there, before it's out on the shelf.
Yes, he will. He will. My number 8, La Gloria Cubana Series R.
See, that's not on my list. That's definitely not on my list.
My number 7, Punch Diablo.
That's not anywhere near my list.
I'm thankful we're separate in finally. This is the only of this blend, this brand that I like now.
Whoa.
And my number 6 is the Hiram & Solomon Grand Architect.
See, I'm not a fan.
That's the only one I like now.
You know which one I like?
Which one?
I like the Shriner.
The Shriner?
The Shriner is fantastic.
Okay.
It's completely different than the rest of the line.
That Grand Architect is, because that's the boldest one they have now.
Yeah, but it's not good.
To you. Here we go.
That made your top 10?
Yeah.
Wow.
I love that.
That really surprises me.
Number 5.
Whoa. We're not done with this Grand Architect.
I love it, man.
We're talking top 10.
Yes. It is in my top 10. My top 10.
How many of those have you lit up and it was plugged?
I haven't had one not a Grand Architect that was plugged.
Interesting.
I haven't had one.
Very interesting. That's all I got to say.
Don't tell me that, because if I get one of
you know what? Next time you get one, you're going to be like, you jinxed me.
You jinxed me.
All right. Go ahead.
My number 5, is what I had this earlier. The McAuliffe Gomez Sanchez.
Now, are these
Reserva.
In order?
Yes.
Okay.
McAuliffe Gomez Sanchez Reserva.
Nice.
Yes, sir.
Nice.
Number four, Casa Cuevas Edition, limited edition Habano Flaco.
Good smoke.
Oh.
Good smoke.
Bruh.
Did I give you that?
Yes.
Okay, because I was like, yeah. Where would you pick one of those up?
Yeah.
Because that's a great yeah. stick.
And I went online to give me a few more.
Yeah, those are great. Oh, they got wow. a great story. I like those guys, yes. and they make a good product.
Number three, Oliva V-Series.
Yeah. I mean, that's I don't have it on my list as mm-hmm. a top 10, but you know what? It is definitely in my top 10 of smokables all the time.
Got you. Number two. Aladino Corojo Reserva.
Now, see, that we got a tie on that one. Because that one's on my list.
Dude.
That's a good smoke.
Dude, you got me with that, man.
Yeah.
You got me with that. And my number one, I've ordered five of these, and I want to get a couple of more because I'm out of them.
Let me guess what it is.
Talk to me.
It's an Acid Blondie.
Nah.
Nah. Hey, if you like Acid Blondie, knock it out of the park. I don't care what you smoke. I'm just, you know.
Giving me all right.
Yeah,
time.
Yeah.
My number one is the Placencia Alma de Fuego.
I think you're saying that wrong.
Alma de Fuego. It is. Pronounced A-L-M-A, Alma, D-E-L, Del, F-U-E-G-O, Fuego.
Huh. Now, is that the dark one?
Yes.
Now, is that the one that's in the hexagon shape, or are you smoking the Figurado?
Figurado.
You know what?
What?
That's a good smoke. You took me a minute to remember which one that is, but it's really dark.
It is.
It's
delicious.
A really leathery, rough wrapper.
Matching it with that Woodford Reserve, that bourbon, I can sit on my back porch and grow to 95
now,
years old
is
just
that
smoking that.
In your top 10 or yes. is number one?
Number one.
Oh, it is number 10. One. See, yes. You did better than me because I'm just giving mine in a random order.
He's just giving us 10. I took the time to grade mine.
Let me tell you guys, you don't know how lucky you are to have Mr. Bryant Falconer on this show, because then you have like some semblance of order. There's an order when Bryant's on the show. When it's just me.
He's like, you just get what you got.
Whatever you get, take it. Take it.
That's my 10 for the year.
All right. So, like I said, no particular order. I just think that if you want to smoke a good cigar, any of
these top 10 will be
are going to be lights out amazing cigars.
Got you.
So, it could be any occasion. Any occasion. And I got to turn over here because I have mine written on a big board over there.
Because if he didn't, he wouldn't remember.
Yeah, I wouldn't. There's too many good cigars out there to remember. But I'm going to say, for my first pick was Alec Bradley Fine and Rare 2019.
Mm.
Did you smoke that?
Yes.
Dude, that was a smoke. Mm. That was a great smoke. And for your guys' entertainment,
yes,
we've got Mr. Bradley from yes. Alec Bradley joining us for the interview today.
Yes.
So you're not going to want to miss that. Anyway, I think that is a phenomenal cigar.
Yes, it
and
is.
You know, the funny thing is, Paul smoked it and didn't care for it. And you know what that made me say? Paul, you are not a good cigar smoker.
You don't know what you're smoking, bro.
Yeah, go back to your woods. Get it, get it, get it.
Did you see how you put that backwoods in there, that pun?
Right,
go
right.
back to your woods.
So, anyway, my next choice is the Viva La Vida Torpedo.
Oh, yes. Yes, the Viva La Vida. We have the sign, the ashtray. He's a Viva La Vida man.
Dude. I got the wall poster. I got the sticker right here. I got the ashtray. I've
had
got the
hat.
Ball cap.
Yep.
I've got stickers.
Yep. Viva La Vida, you got it.
Dude.
You got
it. I'm on that bandwagon.
Yes, sir.
I really
am.
Sir. So next, I'm going to go with the McAuliffe Reserva.
Hey.
I know.
Both lists.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that's the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
And, you know, it took me a little while to appreciate it. It was one of those that it has a unique blend that you're not going to get the first time around.
Uh-uh.
Unless you are like some calibrated palate, you know, what, monitor, evaluator. You know, maybe if you're like, maybe if you were like the king of palate adjustments, you're going to get this. But for a regular guy, the fifth cigar in, I was completely blown away.
Gotcha.
And here's the thing. If I would not have taken that journey, if I would have just taken the first one as, yeah, that was good, then I would have missed what I got five cigars in. You understand what I'm saying?
Most definitely.
It's like that journey is what made that cigar for me get to that level. And so if you're not willing to give a cigar a second chance, a third chance, if you think, oh, that was a good cigar, but then you smoke it again and go, there's just something, just something about that cigar. And then by the time you're on it the fifth time, you're like, the doves are flying.
Got it.
Got it. I got it. You know what I mean?
Light bulb goes
That's
off.
That level of a smoke for
oh,
me.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
All right. So the next one is the Aladino Corojo Reserve.
I see.
That's another one that if, I mean, just the fact that the last two cigars are on both our lists.
Yeah.
That tells you that it's a cigar that you need to try.
Tell the truth.
I mean, I
nothing you
if
can say.
You don't believe anything else I ever say again, you want to know that these two cigars are worth the adventure.
Yes, sir. Yes,
you know
sir.
What I'm saying?
It's they are worth the journey. They are worth that journey. There are certain things, you know, those certain diamonds you find in your route.
Right.
And these two are those diamonds you find in that route.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Because you can find cigars that are much more marketed,
mm-hmm.
that have marketing attached to the, you know, roar of the crowd.
Yeah, yeah.
But with these cigars, it's way beyond that.
Yeah, it's the quality.
Yeah, it really is.
It speaks for himself.
All right, I'm going to move on here. So this is a cigar that I actually just started smoking about maybe 2 months ago.
Okay.
And you're actually smoking it
right now. I have one right now.
That's hilarious. I didn't realize you were smoking one on my top 10. Hey, well, you know what's funny is I'm smoking one that's on
the top
10.
So I smoked one earlier.
I mean, we smoked some good stuff.
Yes.
I mean, we're blessed. Very blessed.
That's perfect. We're blessed.
I mean, we're smoking some really...
Yes, we're blessed.
Dude, if you would have asked me even 4 years ago if I thought I'd be smoking the best of the best, I would have been like, I don't even know what the best of the best is.
Nope.
And that's part of the journey.
Yes.
So anyway, let's get to the next one. This one is the Cuatro Cinco by Hoya de Nicaragua.
I'm glad you could say that because your spelling of it.
I was focused. But that's a great stick, is it not?
Man.
Dude, and it's then that's the I think that is the Corona size. And it's like you don't expect a lot out of it.
Nope.
And it is just full force. Enjoyable.
You open that box and it's Pandora.
Yeah, it's not,
everything is
and
in
it's
there.
Not overpowering.
Nope.
But it like completely surprises you in that small package. We're of how flavorful it is.
Smoking and pairing it with the what is it?
Heaven Hill Bottle and Bond. great pairing.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, I was blown away by it. I'd never had it. I'd never heard of it. Just took a gamble.
And that was a great gamble. You invested well.
Yeah. I read a lot of reviews about it, and it seemed like, but you know, I hate reviews.
Because it's somebody else's, their perception of it. It's what they feel of it, how they look at it. Until you taste it yourself, until you smoke it yourself.
You know what I did?
What's that?
I just spilt half of my bourbon in my lap.
I hope those that are longtime listeners remember when he used to blame me for everything.
Dude, you used to. When
no,
we
sir.
Had the black tabletop.
No, sir.
When we,
no, sir.
Dude,
it was you.
Dude, every time.
As the producer will attest to, unless you can have visual footage to prove him wrong. Hey, look at him. He's over there shaking his head. Yes.
Son. I'm going to play the son card.
Yeah, I quit.
Hey, you know where you live, boy?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, sir.
So anyway, let's get back to mine.
Yes, sir.
So the Cuatro Cinco Hoya de Nicaragua, mm-hmm. great smoke. Highly recommended.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, phenomenal. So my next one, I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. I don't understand how this cigar is not on the top 25 every single year. That tells me that whoever's doing the top 25, they're morons. Because if this cigar is not on it, then I can't trust anything else you say. You see what I'm saying?
I got you.
And it's the Padron 1926 Maduro. How could that not be on every top 25?
Every list, every year. Until they destroy it or make something better.
I don't even know how you could make
that. That's what I'm saying. So until then, it's going to be on the list.
Right. Now, I will say this. You know, Saka has a cigar they call the Unicorn. It's $100.
I have
$100 is a tough pill to swallow for me. For a cigar. But I would like to try it once to see how it measures up to like the Reserva and the Padron 1926.
Okay.
But you also get yourself into a position to where if one cigar is not enough for you to get your overall value or experience, how many $100 cigars do I have to buy until the light comes on?
And that's not a route that many should take.
Right.
Should take. That's correct.
I'm not going to say I shouldn't take it. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say I got to really be committed before I take the first one. Because if you take the first one, there's so many options that could happen.
And
one, you're like, okay, I didn't get it.
Yeah.
And I got to buy another one to see if I can get it. But then the flip side is I got it. I loved it. And now there's a $100 cigar floating around. Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
True.
So there's a commitment
to
smoking that cigar.
It has to be. Yeah.
For me, at least. Because some guys I know, they can smoke one and be done.
That's not me either.
Yeah.
It's not me either.
If it's something that really knocks my socks off, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. And my thing is I want to get everything out of a stick. I want to understand the entire profile. So when I smoke a stick the first time, I'm going to smoke it again because I want to see if I can taste something different or I can find something different.
Right.
And then after that, okay, if I find something different, I'm going to try it another time because the ride is what I'm looking for. Everything about the ride is the blessing. So I seek that ride. I want to know what is in here. And then I look at the reviews and I say, okay, well, they say this. I didn't taste that, but I got this and they didn't say that.
So the next one on my list is my go-to. I mean, that doesn't surprise you, right?
Not at all. That is your 100th. It will be.
I can't even imagine how many these I've smoked.
If this show goes 10 years, every year, this stick will be on his top 20.
You know what? You're probably right about that because I can't imagine me not having it in the top 10.
Not having it twice.
I mean, in order for it to fall out of the top 10, it would have to triple in price and me find. Now, McAuliffe. Don't get no ideas
about what he's saying
about raising the price. But that to me is probably the highest value cigar on here.
I got you.
It's the McAuliffe Medalla.
Like anybody didn't know.
Right, right. I know that. But that being said, the thing about it is that is a superb smoke. Mm. And to be $10.
Yeah.
It's not even $10.
Nope.
But to be in the $10 bracket is, I mean, dude, honestly, to me, that could easily be in the Padron 1964 price range category.
True.
Easily. And so it makes my top 10. One, you're comparing it to the Padron 1964. But now you're showing me a cigar that is that caliber of cigar at $9, $10.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's an eye opener.
That's one of the reasons that's my go to. I mean, dude, you're smoking top of the line cigars
at a value price
at a $10 stick. Yep. Which, how many $10 sticks have you bought before? And you're like, ooh, it was okay.
Ooh. Or said, man, where did my $10 go?
Right, right. But when you get a Medalla, you're talking 1964 Padron value at a $10 value. I mean, it's blows it out of the water. So it's going to take a major change in the cigar market for that one not to be in my top 10. All right, so my next cigar is the Le Bijou 1922 from my father's.
Oh,
you can't argue there.
Nope.
No, that
couldn't say anything.
No, that's a great smoke.
That's a dynamite stick, man.
When you're in the mood.
My father's, yeah.
For a strong cigar that's going to be complex. Delicious.
Yeah, complex and delicious, yes.
I mean, there's a lot of full-blown bodied cigars out there, but this one, you're still getting all that flavor profile that a lot of bold sticks just blow you out of the water and you don't
get. They don't pay attention to it.
But
with my father's, with that Le Bijou, they paid attention to the flavor profile, that ride, that roller coaster ride that we talk about all the time, and still it has that boldness that it will.
And
keep
it's not
you.
For the beginner.
Oh no!
You need to be a seasoned cigar smoker before you enjoy one of these.
Yes, you need a few years up under your belt before you start trying to talk to that one. Yep,
absolutely. So anyway, my next one on the list is the Perdomo ESV Sungrown.
Good stick. You got me on there.
That's a relatively new stick for me.
You got me on there.
And I smoked one earlier today. Mm. I love those sticks. And I mean, I'm a big Perdomo fan anyway. Yes. The way they test all their cigars, the construction. I've never had a plugged Perdomo.
Because they won't send one out.
Right. And so when you get into the ESV line, that's Sungrown. It's good. All right, now, guys, the next one on my list, and you know what? I'm going to actually put this at number one.
Okay.
I've only smoked it one time in my entire life.
And it hit you that one time.
You know what? Here's the thing. It was a fantastic cigar, but I was having a great time with my community. I was playing poker with about seven or eight other cigar brothers, and just hanging out in that environment warranted me to buy a Padron 50th.
Ooh.
And that's a $50 stick.
Yeah.
So you're up there. And I don't know if it was the cigar was that superb or that the camaraderie and brotherhood was so strong, but that time and that experience was up there.
I got you.
You know what I mean?
I got you.
So I would put that at number one. I definitely want to smoke another one.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't go around spending $50 on a cigar very often.
That was one of those, as you say, the entire environment played into every aspect of it. It was the stick, the company, the conversation, the activity. All of that played into an experience that you just.
And I kicked ass at poker.
With the five aces in your pocket.
Just say it. Oh, no, sir. No, sir. You can't say that.
I wasn't there, so I don't know.
My poker game is tight.
You hear that?
I'm just telling you.
Did he just come into the 2000s talking about his poker game was
my
tight?
My poker game is tight.
It was tight. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I ain't messing around.
He said tight.
So. Hey, anyway, guys.
It didn't look right coming out of his mouth, did it?
We got Bradley Rubin coming up next.
Yes, sir.
From Alec Bradley Cigars. I'm a big fan of theirs. In fact, I mean, the fine and rare.
That heaven and
hill. Dude, that heaven and hill's getting a little light. But no, that fine and rare 2019. It blew me out of the water.
Yeah, it's a good stick.
And, you know, it's such a limited stick.
Mm.
But here's the thing.
Talk to me.
So Alec Bradley is releasing, I want to say, and you'll have to listen to the interview because I don't remember, but it's either 500 or 5,000 boxes. And what they're doing is they're doing a box of 25 fine and rare from the best years that they've been made. And they're doing that for 4 years. And then they're doing a fifth stick that, like, encompasses all of them.
Mm.
So I'm excited to see that come out. I hope Jay gets it.
Yeah.
I hope Jay gets it.
Because I'm going to grab a box.
Yeah. Well, no, you can't. Well, I mean, yeah, you can grab,
a box.
That would be 25 cigars.
Yeah, I'm going to grab a box.
So it's either 25 or 50 cigars. But anyway, it's pricey.
I don't care.
Okay. Because I would think that would be one of those things where we would go in together and split it.
I would. We know how you split. There were 50 in there. So why am I getting five? Hey,
two for me. Well, two well, for
I,
me.
Well, I smoked 40 of them. I just have 10 left.
Two of each.
Yeah.
So anyway, we should definitely look at that.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, we got Mr. Bradley coming up next. So we'll come back after the break and we'll do our giveaway and then we'll tell you what's coming up next week.
Yes.
So anyway, guys, we'll be right back after the break. Hey, guys, thanks for hanging through the break. We do have the one and only from Alec Bradley, Mr. Bradley. How you doing, Mr. Bradley Rubin?
I'm doing well, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Oh, man, it's our pleasure. We've been looking forward to this. A lot of guys have seen the pictures of our recording studio. And, you know, one of the centerpieces is the Alec Bradley sign.
I love it. I love seeing it everywhere. It's it always brings a smile to my face.
Oh, man, it's a great sign, great logo. But more importantly, you guys make great cigars. I'm a big fan. Today I'm smoking a Post-Embargo, which I think is one of your best cigars that I think that a lot of people haven't tried. And because you guys make so many good cigars, I think a lot of people tend to go for some of the darker shaded cigars that you guys make because they are all great. But I think that the Post-Embargo is one of those cigars where when people try it, it becomes one of their favorites.
Yeah, I agree. It definitely gets underlooked a little bit. People tend to go for our Black Markets or our Prensado or Tempest, stuff that is usually more well-known, but those under the radar sticks like Post-Embargo or one of my personal favorites, Coyol, man, I can't get enough of them.
Yeah, I'm with you. So let's talk about the Prensado for just a minute. That was the cigar of the year in Cigar Aficionado, I believe in 2011 or 12.
2011.
Okay. So let me ask you this. How much of an impact did it have hitting you guys with number one? I mean, was that something where all of a sudden everybody wants Alec Bradley and it puts you in a bind, or was it just a nice accolade that signified that you guys were doing a great job?
It was both. It was a huge game changer for us. People, you know, we were starting to become more well known prior years to that by getting some ratings. Our first rating was with Tempest and I believe 07. But when we hit that number one, it made people not just want to buy Prensado, but all of our cigars. So it made us more of a, if you want to say in cigars, a household name. But it wasn't too long after that. My father did a little piece a few years after we got number one about how, while it was so great for us, it was also really bad for us because of production and trying to keep up with the demand and our cigars not being rolled as well and the construction being poor. So while it got people to be introduced to our brand, people started smoking our cigars and they were getting really bad cigars from us.
And I think that it speaks volumes that your father spoke on that and basically told everybody what was going on. Because some people just kind of, you know, turn a blind eye. And so you guys recognized that there was a problem and you worked hard to fix that problem, is I guess. So, I mean, I wasn't part of it. So tell us how you guys turned it around.
It really just came down to my father going down to the factory and going through all of the steps and processes. Where can quality control, you know, where is it lacking? Why, you know, aren't the supervisors catching these mistakes? So it just became a complete rehaul of the factory and setting up the steps to make sure that cigars can't make it through the process without them being of, you know, great quality.
So, right.
And that's not just an overnight fix. That's something that takes months and months to make sure that you're getting down perfect. So it
especially while you have increased volumes at the same time. So I mean, that's a tough gig.
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, with the factory that Prensado was being made at, called the Raíces Cubanas, who makes a lot of our cigars that we're well known for, just like Tempest, and a lot of the cigars that we've gotten rated in Cigar Aficionado mainly come from that factory. People are trying all of our rated cigars and not getting what they should have. So right. it took my father quite a long time to get those bugs fixed, but eventually he got it down. And I think people sometimes can have a short memory, and were willing to pick us back up again and try to see if our quality got better, which it did. And then you always have those people that will say, you know, Alec Bradley doesn't make good quality cigars and I won't smoke them again. But all you can do is try and move forward and continue to make better cigars.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you say that, because I've been on some online forums in the past, and I have actually seen some people. And let me tell you, if you go to Reddit, I don't know if you've ever been on Reddit, but Reddit is the most vicious crowd you can go out and talk to. But that being said, I remember I'd posted a couple of pictures of some Alec Bradley cigars, and I had a couple of comments. It was like, I would never smoke Alec Bradley. And I was just like, I don't know what you're talking about, man. These are great cigars. So it was apparently, like you say, someone who had that experience back in the downturn of what was the effect of having a number one cigar. And that person can't let it go. You know what I mean? And because I have never had a bad experience with Alec Bradley cigars. And so I think you guys have turned it around. I never was one of those people that had a bad experience with your cigars, but it's funny that there's still a few people hanging on to that. And I mean, you know, if they don't want to give you another shot, then that's their prerogative. But as far as you guys, you've done what you had to do, turned it around, and now you make quality construction cigars, and I love the blend. So I think that your dad coming out and addressing the issue publicly was a huge step in the right direction, and it looks like he solved the issues to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, we deal with a handmade product. Nothing is
right. Right. And I tell everyone that if someone gets a bad cigar sitting next to me, I'm like, well, you know, it's handmade and, you know, people. So that's one of the romances of cigars, is it's a handmade product. And every once in a while, you're going to get one that's not perfect.
Correct. And it doesn't matter what manufacturer it is. Sometimes you get a cigar that doesn't burn well. The construction isn't amazing. The draw is too tight. It's too loose. It happens to everyone. So it just depends on the type of person that's willing to hold on to that experience and
absolutely not try to stuff another cigar. Absolutely. And you know, my rule is, if I light up a cigar and it's plugged or you can't smoke it, I don't mess around with it. I just toss it out and light up another one. Life's too short for a bad cigar. And when you toss it out and move on, you don't even care what brand it was or, you know, anything. It's just like, I'm going to enjoy myself a cigar. So that's what I do. So let's talk about the ultimate line of cigars that you guys make, the Fine and Rare. Man, I just discovered those this last year, and man, they are lights out. One of my very favorite cigars. I was very disappointed whenever I found out that it only comes out in limited quality editions once a year. So you guys should really start making that year round. Can we make that happen?
I don't think we can make that happen. I don't think my father would go for it, but it's something that people say all the time. Man, they would love if these things were around all year, but just with the tobacco that we use and the time that it takes, it just doesn't make sense. But yeah, man, it's a special cigar, and at release, I myself am excited for it because it's my father's baby. It's kind of his thing, and how it comes out is really on him, and I just stick around for the ride.
Yeah, he really knocked it out of the park with this one. And if you haven't had it, guys, when it comes out, it usually comes out like in late November, December. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. End of the year, usually.
Okay. If you get a chance to pick up an Alec Bradley Fine and Rare, dude, you got to check it out. It's one of my all-time favorite cigars. So let me ask you this. How did your father originally get into the cigar industry?
So before my father was working in cigars, before he started Alec Bradley, he worked for my grandfather, and they made nuts, bolts, screws, hurricane fasteners. You can see hurricane fasteners would be a big business down in Florida. And then my grandfather back in the day had an accident and kind of, he fell and hit his head. And so my father had to take over for my grandfather, running his business. And eventually he sold that company and was trying to figure out what he was going to do, with his, next in life. And one of his employees said that you come every day to work smoking a cigar. And it seems like you really love cigars. And it was really just that one person that said, hey, yeah, maybe you should check this out. And then it was about a year or two later that he started Alec Bradley. I was born in 95 and he started in 1996. So just a year after I was born, he started, and it's just been, a series of good and bad decisions for my father ever since. And now we're coming up on our 25th anniversary next year.
Wow. That's great, man. That's amazing. So let me ask you this. How old is your brother?
So my brother's 28.
Okay. So he's a couple of years older than you.
Yeah, 3 years older.
I got you. So that's where the name comes from. So everybody who thinks that Alec Bradley is the owner of the cigar, it's actually the two sons' names put together. I didn't even know that. So, and I'll tell you, it's really funny because I was reaching out trying to get a hold of you guys, and I actually talked to a Alec, same last name, and he was like, I'm not the guy. Do you know this person?
So I'm actually the one that runs our social media. A lot of the times people are reaching out and, I'm always back there answering. And every once in a while, depending on what the question is, I'll reveal that, I'm the one that they're talking to. And they're like, oh, my gosh, I'm talking to Bradley. And some may know who I am and some may have no clue.
Well, this guy that I talked to was Alec Rubin, but he wasn't part of your family.
Oh, so you reached out to someone named Alec Rubin on Facebook.
Yes.
Yeah. So my brother doesn't have social media. So I'm sure that this Alec Rubin probably gets hit up every once in a while.
Well, apparently he smokes cigars and he's friends with a lot of people I'm friends with. So I just assumed, he's talking to the Coop and some other guys in the industry. Oh. And so I was like, oh, well, that's got to be Alec Rubin. And so when I messaged him, I gave him this long pitch about being on my show. And he was like, that's not me.
That's Alan. That's the other Alan Rubin. And we joke about it all the time about people reaching out to him. And when we see him at the trade show, Alec and I call him our father all the time.
Oh, so you know this guy.
Yeah. So he works for another cigar company and he's always on the other shows, commenting and he's always very involved. So he's a super nice guy.
Yeah, he was super nice. And he was like, that's not me. And anyway, I was like, so sorry to bother you. And then I found you and then we chatted for a little bit and you said, by the way, this is Bradley. And I was like, oh, very nice. Cool.
Yeah.
So you do all the social media work for Alec Bradley Cigars?
Yes, I do.
And how long have you been doing the social media?
For about almost two and a half years now. I started working, 2017, right before the trade show that year. So it wasn't too long after that I started running our social media.
I see. So your dad started the company right after you were born, basically. So how was it growing up, with your father running a cigar manufacturer? I mean, I would assume that in the early going, it was probably not an easy task. So it wasn't like you were born into this family that already had this big cigar brand. It was like that you were growing up during the hard work of getting it to be a known cigar brand.
Yeah. And my you know, everyone talks about the big cigar boom in the 90s, but that was really the early 90s. So my father was really coming off the heels off of the cigar boom, and he didn't have that time period to grow the Alec Bradley brand. He was coming up after that. So a lot of, you know, being young, my father was traveling a lot, going down to the factories, just trying to get production. You know, he had some kooky names for some of his first cigars. One of them was called Bogey Stogies, the best bogey you'll have on the golf course. Another one was, I think it was called Gourmet Cigars, all the flavor, none of the fat. So he had some.
He was really trying, wasn't he?
Yeah. And then he had some, you know, my father's always tried to do things differently. So one of the first things he did, that was unique to the cigar industry, which has been around for so long, was make a triangle press cigar that was called Trilogy.
Okay.
So he actually made the first original press he made himself. He went to Home Depot, got some wood, asked if the saw that they had that they were letting people use, if it cut on angles. And so he got the angles cut and put it all together and tried experimenting with himself for a triangle cigar.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And then he made the first one. So, or I'm sure the only one.
So do you guys still have any of those cigars tucked away in a humidor somewhere?
So I'm sure my dad does. And I know Alec has found some. Yeah. I've only smoked the, because after we made them the triangle press, we also made them round, a Parejo size. So just a normal circular cigar. So I've smoked some of those, and I do have one triangle press cigar, but I have yet to smoke that one.
Yeah, that's one of those that you don't want to smoke, because once you do, it's gone.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've got some of those in my humidor. Not one of those, but I've got some of those that it's like, don't really want to smoke that. But I'm not a long-term saver anyway. I, you know, whenever I'm in the mood, that's when I smoke it.
I like to hear that.
It's like when I bought up so many of those fine and rares, I was like, I'm going to really space these out and save them. And I think I smoked all four of them in a week.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't tend to save. Oh, I do hold on to them and I'll find the right moments. But for someone that smokes a lot of cigars, and I'm sure you do too, there almost is never that right moment for a special cigar, because you smoke so often, and then they're just sitting there and you're like, well, I'm waiting for the right moment. And that moment may never come. So you just got to enjoy them when you can.
Well, and I've always said cigars are made for smoking.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're not, to me, they're not like collectibles. I know some guys like to hang on to them, but for me, they're made for smoking and enjoyment.
Correct. Correct. Absolutely.
So what do you guys have coming up for 2020, the rest of the year, and 2021? I mean, I know COVID has kind of put a curveball for everyone. So, like, what are you guys working on?
So just to get back to the fine and rare a little bit. So you're.
Oh, yeah.
Fully understand, because we'll be releasing in this at the end of the year. So the box that we're going to be releasing is only 5 boxes. That will have 5 different iterations of the fine and rare. So there'll be one from 20, or and there's 5 cigars of each. So there'll be 5 cigars from 2014, 2016, 2017, 2018, and 2019. So my father picked what he thought were the best iterations from all of the releases. So you'll get a little bit of, you'll get history, and you'll get the nuances of what the aged cigars are like, you know, 5, 6, you know, years later.
And how many of those, cool. How many of those are going to be available?
There'll be 500 boxes.
500. So. Okay. See, I thought you said 5, and I was like, well, there's no way. I'm going to have a shot at any of those.
No, 500 boxes, 5 cigars of each. So you'll have 25 cigars. And then there's also what we're not announcing is a mystery item.
Oh, nice.
So there's 6 drawers in this big, really big, unique box. And the 6th drawer, we're not telling anyone what it is, but it will be cool. That's all we're saying.
Very nice. Well, I'm definitely going to have that on my radar. I can't wait. I mean, just to have a chance to smoke some more 2019s is worth it to me. And I would love to explore the rest of that line since I missed it.
Absolutely. And so the whole box would be retailing at $600. So that goes to be about $24 a cigar. And we're hoping to get it by the end of the year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for those who have tried those cigars, I'm sure they're going to sell out fast. They always do, right?
Yeah, they always sell very quickly. So we're trying to get them all around the country so everyone gets an opportunity to buy them.
Very nice. Well, hopefully Abilene, Texas will get that box.
I hope so. So, and then the other release that we're that we've announced, and I'm actually smoking the pre-release right now, is a cigar that Alec and myself are releasing, and it's a Japanese name called Kintsugi. So we announced it a few months ago, and we were originally planning to have it released by now, but with COVID happening, factories being shut down, and just not being able to make cigars, make the bands, everything, also packaging changes that we decided to make while we were in quarantine, it delayed us a lot. But I'm smoking one of the pre-releases right now, and it's smoking great. It's a nice medium-bodied cigar with this great sweetness. And we've actually been on the traveling trade show. I don't know if you've heard about that, but Rocky Patel, us, Crowned Heads, and Oliva have been doing a traveling trade show for the past week and this whole upcoming week. And we're going to be in 14 cities or 16 cities in about 2 weeks.
Are you going to be in Texas at all?
I personally won't be in Texas, but I think Texas should be happening, I think, tomorrow. There's one in Houston and one in Dallas.
Okay.
They're both 2 days long. So we've been sampling the Kintsugi pre-release at these events so people can try them.
And how's the feedback been so far?
It's been really good. It's been really, really good so far. I did my first event in Naples at the Rocky Patel Burn. And so that was the first trade show and the first time that I got to smoke the newer production of Kintsugi. And it's been great feedback so far. So I think people will really like it.
Awesome. So how's the trade show, the traveling trade show, how's that been working out? I mean, you guys have been going to some different lounges. Are you finding, I guess you're finding lounges that are open and having consumers come in and try?
So it's only for retailers. So it's basically if we didn't have, since we don't have the annual trade show in Vegas,
right?
It's only for retailers. So it's our opportunity to get in front of our partners and show them what we're working on. So they've been going pretty well. You know, everywhere has been a little bit different. Some people are coming out in bigger numbers in certain cities just due to the fact that they may feel more comfortable about COVID than others. So it's just been different, but it's gone well overall so far.
I gotcha. So when do you think that the release of the new cigar is going to be coming out?
So we're hoping for September, October. I actually just got the proofs for the bands of Kintsugi. So these will be going to print hopefully in the next week or two. And then we're waiting on some sample boxes to come in just to make sure all the little details are right. And then cigars will be going into production. So it's mine and my brother's third release now. So we're really excited for this one.
Very nice. So let me ask you this. How are you guys handling the changes coming up in August with the FDA? Is that very much of an impact on you guys?
It is to an extent. Our father's very heavily involved in what's going on. He's been to DC multiple times, fighting against regulations for the industry. You know, luckily we've been around long enough that our history has provided us with plenty of grandfathered blends and the ability to make sure that none of our cigars will be discontinued because of that. But it's not just about us. It's about the whole industry. And while in theory you go, oh, well, if our you know, if our competitors aren't around, then, you know, the more business to us, but we don't want to see anyone go away because, you know, we don't, there's no reason for anyone to be regulated and no company should be affected by the FDA coming down on us. So it's really important that we try and keep everyone in business and keep this industry alive.
Yeah, we're big supporters of Cigar Rights of America. We encourage all our listeners to join because we want our voice to be heard. And if you want to get me riled up, then we start talking about the FDA. So I'm not going to hang out on this subject too long. But, you know, just like you said, we don't need regulations in the cigar realm because, you know, I get they don't want kids smoking cigarettes. But other than that, I mean, I'm like, you know what? If I want to smoke a cigarette, which I don't smoke cigarettes, but I'm an adult, I should be able to do that. And if I want to smoke a cigar, I should be able to do that. So that's about my political stance there is I'm an adult. Let me do what I want.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what do you guys have coming up in 2021? I mean, are y'all planning that far out yet?
Yeah, we try to plan as far ahead as far ahead as we can, but unfortunately, it doesn't always work out that well for us. We always say we want to do this and we want to do that, but things move very slowly in this industry. So yeah, we have some brands that we want to come out with, and we're already starting to work on them. But my father and myself were very detail oriented, and you know, we may get down to the finished packaging, and we may look at it and say, you know, scrap that. Let's start all over again, which has happened to me twice now on my mine and my brother's own releases. So
I got you.
We always have stuff in the hopper. We just hope that we get it done in time.
Right. So where's the factory located?
So we work with three different factories. Our main factory is in Honduras, in Donley, called Raices Cubanas, which makes Coyol, Prensado, Tempest, the Lineage, makes Fine and Rare. That's kind of our main factory. And then we work with two of Placencia's factories, one also being in Honduras and one being in Esteli, Nicaragua.
Okay, very nice. And so you guys have been down there quite a bit, I'm assuming, probably since you've been a kid, huh?
Actually, not since I was since we were kids. Only since I started working. It was never. I had asked a few times when I was in my teens, but just sometimes it's not always the safest. You know, sometimes the drive from the airport in Honduras to Donley, it's about a 2-hour drive, can be a little bit rough. So my father didn't think it was the best idea at the time to take us down there. But once I started working, I was like, hey, I need to be down at the factory.
I got to get hands on.
I need to learn, you know, if I'm going to be in this business for hopefully the rest of my life, you know, I need to start getting down to the factory. So it's my first experience is what many call the gringo experience, where you learn from seed to box and everything in between. So that was definitely the foundation. And then every other time I've been back, it's to just continue to learn and work on new projects.
Now, how awesome is it when you're down there to be able to smoke some cigars that are just freshly rolled and some of the tobacco that never makes it to the States?
It's definitely cool. You know, when you're there, you're so into the experience of being down at the factory, and you know, you're working on, you're going, what's the next project? What's the next cigar? And again, everything is fresh. So you may smoke something and go, oh man, this is awesome. I can't wait to see what it's like in a month or 2 months. And then you come back home and you wait for those samples to get there. And then you smoke it again. And you go, oh man, what was I thinking?
Oh,
man,
really?
It happens all the time. You know, I remember Alec went down one time without me. I was on a trip and we were working on Kintsugi, this release. And I remember him calling me when he's down there. He's like, man, I got 10 to 15 cigars, which, I mean, they're all awesome. I can't wait for you to try them. And then they got here and we smoked them. And at least if there was 15, 10 of them weren't good. And, and then so you don't always, when you're there, everything tastes great. And then you get back here and you try it and you're like, I don't know, you know, what went wrong or what I was thinking, but it's definitely not as good as I remember. So you gotta, it's not always a, you know, one trip is going to get you what you're looking for. It definitely takes multiple, multiple trips down there to find the cigar that is going to be right for you.
That's awesome, man. I haven't been down there yet. I'm going to try to go down to Honduras next year, and it was as long as COVID allows it, but mm-hmm. I'm really looking forward to it. I've had several friends that have gone down on different tours and told me all about it, and it just sounds like heaven to me. And so I'm looking forward to doing that. Well, Mr. Bradley, we want to say thank you so much for taking the time to join us. We are big fans of your cigar line, as you can tell by the studio. And we just wish you guys all the success. And if you ever need anything from Cigar Talk, feel free to reach out at any time, brother.
Thank you, Rob. I really appreciate the time, and talking with you is awesome. So thank you so much.
Hey, you're welcome. Hey, and before we go, tell everyone how they can find you on social media.
So on Instagram, our handle is Alec Bradley Cigar, as well as Facebook, and our Twitter handle is, I believe, just Alec Bradley. So if you're ever talking to anyone on Alec Bradley social media, it is me. So please reach out, ask me any questions you got, and I'll always try my best to help.
Now you know the man behind the curtain. All right, man. Well, hey, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll be talking to you soon. Take care, and much success to you guys.
Thanks, Rob. You too.
All right. Thanks, brother. Hey, guys. Hope you enjoyed the interview with Mr. Bradley from Alec Bradley. It's actually Bradley Rubin. See, I reached out to him, and he contacted me, and we talked for a little bit, and he said, well, I'm actually Bradley, because Bradley actually does all their social media.
Yeah,
so that was pretty cool. We got that interview, super happy about it. I'm a big fan of their line of cigars,
most definitely,
and I appreciate his willingness just to be open and honest, you know what I mean?
That's
well, you go back to his dad coming out after the 2011 Cigar of the Year, and construction went down.
Yep.
And he came out and said, hey, man, this is what has happened. Mm-hmm. Here's what we're going to do to fix it.
Open and honest.
Dude, love that in any company.
Oh.
You know what I mean? You just don't see that anymore.
I was just
going
to say, it's missing
today.
Now
it's always, how can we spin this?
Mm-hmm. Instead of just telling the truth.
Yeah, tell me the truth, and I'm going to be a fan because you were honest.
Yeah, because you're being faithful
to
me.
I know you're going
to
get your quality back up, mm-hmm. but don't take me down a road like Gurkha.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, look, all right. Now, so we don't really get into political
stuff on the show.
But I'm going to say this. So Gurkha, the president, founder, whatever you want to call his title, said some anti-black remarks.
Yes, he did.
And then he said, my account was hacked.
No, it wasn't.
No, we know that now. Mm-hmm. But then he resigned. Mm-hmm. And it's like, dude.
So if your account was hacked, why did you resign?
Right. And so that's why I appreciate companies who are just willing to be honest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And first of all, you say something. Now, how dumb do you have to be to go on social media and make a racist comment?
And think it won't get around.
And think it won't be detrimental to your overall existence as a company.
Yeah, that's both ways. How do you expect anything in this world today where what you say is immediately across the world?
Yeah.
Immediately. How do you?
It's not the shot heard around the world now. It's the text.
Yes.
It's the post. Mm-hmm. It's anything that you put on social media is now.
And you actually have the audacity to believe that nobody's going to see it. Nobody's going to hear it. Nobody's going to have their opinion on it. And that your opinion is the only one that matters.
Come on, man. What I think is funny. Here's what I think.
What's that?
And you know, I've never really been a Gurkha fan.
No. That's true.
You know, I always made fun of you because you did smoke some Gurkha.
Yeah, until that.
Yeah, I get it. And so it strikes me as the audacity on someone that not only has the wrong frame of mind on the way they think about human rights, but also the fact that he thinks he's so far above everyone else that he can make that statement and not affect our business.
And not be touched. Yeah.
I was 100% on board. I mean, you know, maybe I'm the worst example because I didn't smoke Gurkha in the first place.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, I'm not smoking Gurkha ever again.
I don't.
And I have to say, in my early days of being a cigar smoker, I smoked some Gurkhas and I thought they sucked. Now,
now you know why they suck.
Well, I mean, I know people that smoke them.
Yeah. I used to.
Yeah, you even did. But just the audacity to think that I can say whatever I want to say and not have repercussions from it is a whole different level. First of all, that you should be. In today's society, Gary Vee says it best. Like right now, everything you do seems to be like it's under a microscope.
Yes.
We're not even scratching the surface.
No, we're not.
We are about to be on display.
Everywhere. And at all times.
And if you are a bad person, people are going to know you're a bad person.
You can't hide it. You can't hide anything anymore. You can't.
Right.
There's too many ways, too many opportunities, avenues for what you do in the dark to be seen in the light.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter where you are. You know, you could feel that there are people that have their surveillance systems at their home and, oh, well, what I do at home, nobody will see. Well, that's a lie because people hack every day.
Right.
And information is pulled every day. We go back to Aaron Hernandez when he was trying to just, you know, get rid of certain things after that incident.
It wasn't happening.
But then they were able to pull his cameras from his house and saw all the movements they made in the house. You're thinking you're safe in your own home with your personal surveillance system, and everything you do
can be brought into
court.
Or in the court of public opinion.
And that is the worst.
Right. Because it's not in front of a court. Somebody hacks your system, downloads a bunch of stuff you thought was private, and bam, now you are the Daily Post.
For real.
So
everybody sees it now.
Anyway, we'll get on with our show here.
Most definitely.
I don't know how we got off on that tangent, but it's time for the Moose Mountain Goods coffee giveaway. I was drinking their coffee all day today. And you know,
I would be drinking some of their coffee if
somebody would have grounded. I know, dude. I was busy all week. And you know what's funny?
What's that?
Was my wife was out here in the studio. We were watching a television show together. And she said, "Oh, grab that bag of coffee." And I said, "Oh, that's Brian's bag. I got to grind it."
And you didn't.
And then I went in the house and I left it out here.
See, anything pertaining to me, back level.
Yeah. Not on my radar.
What radar? I'm not even in the drawing. Hey. You know how we used to be in kids and you get down there and you draw a play up in the dirt?
Yeah. And they just draw one spot for you.
Yeah.
Where do you want me to go? Just stay right there. Yeah.
Stay right there.
I love drawing up plays.
I can see.
I got real creative.
And none of them worked.
No, some of them work. He said some.
Well,
I mean, you know, if you are successful every time, it's because you're not going outside of what people think you will do.
If they know that's what you're going to do, they're going to stop it. I remember in practice, man,
we'd run the same play. No, sir.
And if we couldn't get it, run it again. You're going to run it till you get it right. They kept doing everything they could to stop it. I got tired of getting hit.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I get that. But what I'm saying is you do what you do that is successful, but you go outside of that comfort zone to try some things that you might not have known that would be successful.
Oh, so you're talking about going outside the box.
Yeah.
I got you. Okay, I'm with you on that.
I live outside the box.
You don't have a box.
That's true.
You don't. Box doesn't.
I burned it.
Yeah, confines, they don't exist with you.
That's true.
You live outside that. What? Moose Mountain.
Moose Mountain Goods. So here's the thing. You guys see the pictures.
Yes.
I love Moose Mountain coffee. I love the Ethiopian. I really like the Costa Rican. Which one is that you got?
Costa Rican.
You haven't had it yet.
Nope.
You haven't had any of it
yet. That's a reason why. That's a reason why.
We'll get you there, brother. We'll get you there.
That's a reason why.
So, anyway, I'm a big fan, and should be this upcoming week that I'm actually going to start working with Ben on coming up with a power punch dark roast.
Yeah.
I want to go, and I don't know what's going to be available. What I'm hoping is available is like the Ethiopian, the Guatemala, the Colombian. Those are some powerhouses that I would like to do a dark roast on. And I don't know, but I'm going to check on the Sumatra as well.
Okay.
Anyway, we're working on that. And so every week we do a giveaway. And how do you get in the giveaway, Brian?
All you have to do is register. It's easy. Go to the website. Register. Give us your name and your email address. Once you register once, you're in for every
as giveaway. Long as Cigar Talk is exists, alive,
yes,
you'll be in a drawing.
We'll never send you any of that spam email, that craziness. We don't. This is just for the people that take time out of their day to show us appreciation. We want to show appreciation back to you. So that's what it is.
Yes, exactly. And easy. You know, the thing about it is we say thank you for any level of support.
Yes.
Whether you're a listener, a Patreon, whatever it is that you do to support the show, we want to say thank you to you guys. And we want to give a special thank you to the Patreons who support the show financially. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a blessing.
Yes, it is.
And, I mean, the Cigar Talk bills never quit coming.
No, they don't.
The replacement equipment never quits happening. So thank you for you guys that actually support us financially, too. And that's one of the reasons we do all the extra content, whether it be video, audio, whatever it is, we put it up there for those guys.
Yes, sir.
Just as a token of thanks.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Because in the end, it's all about those that walk with you. You want to keep them walking with you.
Absolutely.
You want to keep them walking with you. When you start running, you want them running with you. So you have to take care of your people. You have to. And that's the way we look at it. You are part of us. You're a part of Cigar Talk.
It is family, man. Yes. It really is.
Yes. And yes, because without you, there would be no reason for us to be here talking on the radio. We'd still be sitting and holding these conversations.
If you are not in our Discord family, you need to join up.
Anybody that's listening needs to be.
I don't even know how to tell you.
That's free too.
But you can go look at our Facebook page, and there's several links that show you how to join. I don't know how to tell you directly, but dude, the relationships that we have with the people in that Discord is awesome.
It's 100%. It's
banter every day. It's talk every day. You know, just yesterday we had a brother of the leaf whose son got COVID.
Yes.
So him and his wife and kid had to be quarantined.
Mm-hmm.
He is their only source of income.
Mm-hmm.
We put up a link, and people in the cigar community and our family donated money to pass on to his family. Mm-hmm. And
that's what it's about.
To be able to be a part of a family that cares that much for each other was special.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It really was. And so we want to say our hearts and prayers are with this family, and we thank you guys for all that you do. In fact, he's a Patreon.
Yes.
And, you know, I told him, I said, dude, go turn your Patreon off. I don't want you giving us any money. I want you to take care of your family. And so we set up this donation. It was not his idea. Mm-hmm. It was mine. And he said, I'm not going to quit doing my Patreon because you guys supply me with time each week.
Yeah.
And that was a blessing.
That's
because,
the humbling in it.
Yeah, it was you know, what we do for us is fun.
Yeah.
But if it gives you some enjoyment during your week, man.
That's what it's about.
That's what it's about.
That's all it's
about. And then to bring us together as a family and have other cigar brothers donate money and I'm able to send him a check was awesome.
Yeah.
It was really a blessing.
It's a blessing, man. God is good, bro.
Absolutely. God so anyway, good. Let's get to our winner.
Yes.
So our winner this week, and I don't know if I'm going to butcher this name, but I'm going to give it my best shot.
Let me do it then.
Okay. Hey, you think you can do it?
Yeah.
If you do it wrong, there's going to be holy hell to pay.
There's no way I can do it any worse than you were trying to.
That may be true. All right.
When he pulled the name out of the list, he was like, no, that can't be it.
but I butchered it. I don't.
So, Mr. John Banholzen.
Nope.
What is it?
There's no N.
Holzer.
There you go. It's John Banholzer. So, John Banholzer, congratulations.
Most definitely.
you're going to get coffee. So what you got to do is send me an email, and in the subject line, it needs to say Cigar Talk winner. And then in the body, put your name, address, and if you want whole beans yes. or if you want ground, and yes. they'll take care of you. They'll get it shipped out in a couple of days. And so anyway, when you get your coffee, send us a picture of Please. You smoking a cigar and enjoying the coffee, Please. Man. Please. We'd appreciate that. We'd like to post that on our website and just have, and we'll probably make fun of you at least once, but it will be like in a loving
yes,
way.
Yes. In a loving most way. Most definitely. It comes as a family. You know, we, you unless, know how we do that.
Unless you're just really, really ugly. I'm just messing.
You got me, man. I snorted on the radio.
So anyway, guys, that's gonna wrap it up this week. Next week we have Echelon Cigars gonna join yes. us. I'm looking forward to that interview. I'm a big fan of their cigars as well. So hey, hope you enjoyed the show this week, and until next time,
keep smoking.